Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
.com. Brad Gagneau back with us from Bleacher Report, the national NFL writer. How you doing, Brad?
I'm great, Scott. How are you, man?
I'm all right, brother. What did you think of the OBJ deal the minute you heard it?
It's just how excited I am to watch the Cleveland Browns, which seems so crazy that we've come to this point where we all probably agree, I guess unless you're maybe a Steelers or Browns or Bengals fan, that it's going to be fun, really, really fun to watch these Cleveland Browns in 2019. And it's incredible how far this organization's come in just a couple of years.
So you think that because Vegas now makes them the sixth best odds to win the Super Bowl, that they're automatic to take the North?
I mean, nothing's automatic in this league, and you could leave it to the Browns to – you know, potentially mess something like this up, but talent-wise, especially considering the offseason that we've seen, you know, with their opponents, with the Ravens losing four key defensive players already in free agency, with the Steelers, of course, losing Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, and the Bengals really not really being a team that's considered to be a contender to begin with, I'd have to imagine they've emerged as the clear-cut favorite in the North and maybe a team that could push for a bye. Like, they really are that good on paper at this point.
I mean, it is exciting to ponder the Mayfield-Beckham connection, but he's also got other talent on that team, like Landry, et cetera. They were fantastic last year because of Mayfield. What do you think he'll be like? What kind of step do you think he'll take adding someone like that to his repertoire? Even now, I think Mayfield becomes more dangerous.
Yeah, and you saw the progress he made late in the year once Hugh Jackson was out of the way, once Freddie Kitchens was running that offense. And so I think it's invaluable to have Kitchens come back and to have, that continued momentum that they already had in place. And then to throw in Odell Beckham Jr. teaming up with Jarvis Landry, to have Antonio Callaway, who's an extremely promising second-year receiver, coming off his first full offseason in the NFL. David Njoku, their third-year tight end, who's incredibly talented and will you know could provide to be a great target. And don't even forget, you know, kind of under the radar, the fact that you know they went out and brought in Kareem Hunt, who you know he might be suspended early in the season, and we don't know how what happened to him last year will affect 2019 and beyond. But man, if he gets back on track as well to the way he was playing in Kansas City, they're just going to have a loaded offense for him to work with. So I think there's a very good chance that Baker Mayfield takes a massive, you know, Patrick Mahomes type step forward in his second season.
So, I mean, honestly, Brad Gagneau with us from Bleacher Report. Honestly, though, at the end of the day, these contracts these guys signed mean absolutely nothing. The guy signed a $98 million deal, and a year later, not even, he's gone. I mean, they'll trade anybody. It doesn't matter what your contract says. They'll get rid of anybody. They'll cut anybody. It is crazy. Those contracts literally almost mean nothing when you think about it.
This offseason especially has been, you know, a slap in the face in terms of that reminder that this is a business, right? I mean, you look at that trade that Cleveland made with the Giants earlier, like not this one, but the other one, where Kevin Zeitler, the guard, went to New York for Olivier Vernon, the pass rusher. Those were two of the biggest signings in free agency 2 years ago. And now both teams gave up on them and already make a trade for them. Odell Beckham Jr.'s contract was massive less than a year ago. And you heard Dave Gettleman saying, even until recently, the GM of the Giants saying, we didn't sign him to trade him. And sure enough, he's gone. Oh, Antonio Brown's gone. All this adds up to, a hell of a reminder that it's a business and that you just don't know what's going to happen year to year with your team, with the direction you're headed, with the players on that roster, aside from maybe the quarterback position, which you know, does have a lot more consistency than anywhere else.
In Portuguese, that means don't believe a word your GM says publicly ever.
Exactly.
All right, so what is the deal with the Chiefs trading D Ford to the Niners. Is that a done deal?
All indications are that's happening. And I think what it is the Chiefs realize they had one of the worst defenses in all of football last year, despite the fact that, you know, all we heard about was how great the three-headed pass-rushing monster was in Justin Houston and Chris Jones and Dee Ford. And ultimately, if your numbers aren't good, you're giving up a lot of yardage, you're giving up a lot of points, you're kind of an embarrassment, and they were even in the playoffs, despite having those guys on the roster, makes sense to go in a new direction. So they tag and trade Ford, they release Houston and save a ton of money, and they instead invest in the secondary. It looks like Tyrann Mathieu is probably going to replace Eric Berry, who may also have played his last game in a Chiefs uniform. And so investing in the secondary a little bit more, finding out where to spend that money, because as much as it's tempting to load up on great pass rushers on that side of the ball, the reality is those guys get expensive fast, they age fast, and then all of a sudden you wonder if you're paying them what they're worth. And this draft is fantastic. I mean, maybe one of the best ever, as we saw at the combine, in terms of talent at the pass rushing positions at defensive end and defensive tackle. So very good chance that based on the moves you've seen the Chiefs make leading up here to free agency, that they're going to be going that route in the first or second round of the draft.
Yeah. Does Bell, do you think, go with, because, you know, you hear all this Jets, Ravens, Eagles have been in that mix as well. Where do you think he ends up? And tomorrow, is it going to happen?
Yeah, it does seem like the Jets is still where they're going to go, and there's apparently this deadline the Jets have set, and there's been reports that there's somewhat of a schism there in terms of, you know, if they're, you know, all in lockstep in terms of wanting him or wanting to go that route. You know, it looks like Baltimore could go the Mark Ingram route, which would be a little bit cheaper and make a little bit more sense in terms of their offense with Lamar Jackson. So my money's still on the Jets. I would be shocked if it didn't happen tomorrow. I think it's probably one of those deals that they're going to regret, but you know, I don't think you give more than $14 or $15 million a year to anybody at the running back position at this point in time. So it seems like an odd move, and I think the market's probably a little more shallow than some expected based on the fact that teams are now scared away by running backs to an extent. But yeah, I think it goes down tomorrow, and I'd be shocked if it wasn't the Jets.
So he was going to make $14.5 million with the Steelers. Is it true he's going to make less money now in this deal because he screwed it up?
Well, I mean, again, like, these deals have been so shocking, like more shocking. I know every year we say this in mid-March, but this year more than ever, where we're seeing, you know, box safeties getting $14-15 million a year. We're seeing, you know, non-rushing linebackers making $15-16 million a year. Some of these deals are so whack, like so out of whack, that you wonder if Bell still winds up with more than that. But again, I do think his market has dried out a bit. I think, you know, you look at Nick Foles having to take less because he only really had one team to go to. You wonder if that's somewhat of a problem for Le'Veon Bell, where there's a few good running backs in the market and teams have just realized they can find good backs in the draft. You know, the last couple leading rushers or leading rusher 2 years ago, Alvin Kamara was a third round pick, he was the offensive rookie of the year. Leading rusher Kareem Hunt, also a third round pick. You can find these guys. Philip Lindsay was undrafted and went to the Pro Bowl as a rookie. And so teams just realize it's just not worth investing in running backs. And as you lower that market, all of a sudden there's not many teams in play and the price goes down. So yeah, I think ultimately last year's sit out will be a mistake financially for Le'Veon Bell. But we'll see what comes out of it tomorrow or whenever it comes down, because at this point, nothing would shock me.
Brad Gagneau, Bleacher Report. So do you think that Foles' $88 million was a bad deal?
Well, I just don't think it was the kind of money that you'd expect a 30-year-old Super Bowl MVP to get, considering the explosion in terms of average annual values and guaranteed money at the quarterback position. You look at what Kirk Cousins got last year. You look at what obviously Aaron Rodgers set the market at. Jimmy Garoppolo, who had, six, seven starts under his belt, getting $27 million a year with San Francisco. Considering those contracts, I think it's surprising. Considering the market, it's not. If Nick Foles had three or four teams vying for him this offseason, it'd be a different story. But the fact is, rookie quarterbacks have been playing fantastic 2-3 years in a row. Almost every team in this league, aside from maybe Jacksonville prior to the Foles signing, and maybe Miami, were pretty confident in their quarterbacks coming into this offseason. And the Dolphins look like they're rebuilding and not willing to spend that kind of money on Foles. So there wasn't a market, and that's why it drove down the price a little bit. He could still make close to $100 million. Apparently, as he maxes out that deal and you know, has some of the success we saw in his short runs with Philly. But considering where quarterback contracts are going, you would have expected on the surface at least that he'd get even more than that.
So what did you think of Anthony Barr shafting the Jets? And was he not on the verge of doing a deal with him, or did he just play him?
It seems like he was on the verge, and that's the danger of this tampering period, this legal tampering period, is it's easy for deals to fall through. I mean, there's absolutely no obligation. Rashad Perriman is obviously going to now back out of his deal with the Browns as a result of the trade of Odell Beckham Jr. A little more understandable in that case, a big money deal with Anthony Barr, where C.J. Mosley was also signed there. But honestly, I think this is one of those cases, again, where it could be a blessing in disguise if you're the Jets, where for some odd reason, they bring in two stay-at-home linebackers for $14, $15-plus million a year before free agency starts. And it's like, it's not 1975 anymore, especially if you're going to go Le'Veon Bell, too. You're going to go with a running back and two linebackers. You can't rush the passer. Those aren't the guys you pay premiums to in 2019. So this could be the kind of thing that, even though Anthony Barr is a great player, when you already have C.J. Mosley, it might have been overkill to begin with. You already have Avery Williamson, who you paid big bucks for from Tennessee last offseason. Seemed like a weird move from the start, and I think ultimately it could be the kind of thing they say, well, you know what, financially we were better off not paying.
What did you think of the Beasley and Brown deals with the Bills?
They need something new at the receiver position for Josh Allen. And you know what? Those guys are kind of antitheses, which is great. They have a deep threat in Brown who's got speed, who Josh Allen can, you know, get some air under the ball and see if he can hit him deep. And they've got Cole Beasley, who's always been reliable. Nothing overly special, but he's a guy who works in the slot, gets open, and who Josh Allen can treat as somewhat of a safety valve. So, you know, I don't mind going out and getting a couple of receivers who aren't going to be superstars for you, but also aren't costing quite as much money as the Beckhams and the Browns of the world, and can be relied upon for a rookie quarterback, or in this case now a sophomore quarterback you bring in a lot.
What'd you think of Cordarrelle Patterson going to the Bears? He's moved around a lot so far in his young career.
And made some money in New England. Took that 1 year, you know, that short deal in New England and capitalized, you know, and really Bill Belichick kind of showed that there's things that this guy can do if you play him properly, if you find roles for him, utilize that speed. They used him as a running back where he really stood out a couple times in 2019 as well. And so, you know, it was kind of perfect where he took advantage of the Patriots. Yeah, and the Patriots took advantage of him, and both of them ended up, you know, gaining, where the Pats had a Super Bowl season where he played a bit of a role, and now here he is getting some of that Super Bowl bonus as well by moving on to a new team that's willing to see if maybe they can take advantage of his skill set the same way the Pats did. I like that move a lot, and it's nice for him to be able to capitalize on a good experience in New England.
Brad Gagneau with us, Bleacher Report. What did you think of the Patriots' move with Josh Gordon to keep him around?
Again, I don't mind it. I think that, you know, let this play out. The Pats aren't the kind of team that usually goes that route where they think, you know, we don't want to take any chances with guys in the locker room and whatnot. But I also think they see his skill set, where he made a big impact in a short span there. And you know, they won the Super Bowl without him. But the fact is that I think it's a low-risk move to make right now. It's not as though they're breaking the bank to have him on, on board still. So I don't mind them waiting and seeing how this all plays out. In terms of his future and where he can get himself. Obviously, they see something in the guy, and I think they probably had a positive experience before, unfortunately, things went downhill for him, you know, late in 2018.
All right, Brad, great stuff tonight, man. Thanks for coming on the bench, brother. Way to hit all the NFL stuff with us.
Anytime, Scott. Thanks a lot for having me.
All right, Brad Gagneau, the Bleacher Report, scene doing the national NFL beat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.